Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. NASCAR Sprint Cup and the NHRA hold Monday matinees. IndyCars forge ahead after the Indy 500 with a Detroit doubleheader. Indiana Midget Week is complete as summertime starts to bring midweek short track races. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, June the 6th, 2016, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight. From the North Myrtle Beach, ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is with us. Some robbers broke into the Gap at a North Myrtle Beach mall. The suspects are reported to be armed and casual. How are you, Daddy Jay?
Excuse me. Armed and casual.
Yeah.
That's good, man. That's good.
Like, yeah. You know, going to the Gap, you got to blend in there. So they're armed and casual. How's the crime rate down there in North Myrtle Beach? What's going on?
Most of our thugs are armed and casual.
Yeah.
You know, they got that you know, what do you call it? Thug chic look going. Yeah.
Thug with flip-flops and swimsuits.
Yeah.
Well, spring break for us is over. We've been away for a few weeks.
Yeah, we have, man.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. Had a little break there. One Monday was planned. Another one's kind of snuck up on us a little bit. But where have you been? How have you been occupying your time?
Well, I went to Utah for a week. And shot a bunch of golf video. Got to play some golf and out there at just near Salt Lake City, about 45 miles from Salt Lake City, in a place called Heber Valley, Utah. Really, really cool, beautiful piece of the country out there. It was pretty much like early spring at 6,000 feet in Utah. So the air was thin, dry, and there was a lot of pollen. I came back with a respiratory infection, but other than that, it was all good, man.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, great play.
Yep.
Good show.
Yep. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, I can tell we've been busy even though we've been off the air. My head was bopping to the new song intro there that we, you know, came rocking back to.
Yeah, how about that, man? Well, special thanks to Bill Bentley for taking Ron Pastana's Race Day Rock and given us the clearance to use that as the show intro, and even did a little custom lyrics for us to put in the name of the show. I thought it was really, really cool. So Speedway Report, man, Race Day Rock, this is how we do it.
And it's good Ron Pastana's name continues to live on brightly here on Racers Reunion Radio. That's great. Our website as a new logo. You've maybe been off the air, bud, but you've been busy down there at the beach. We got a new logo. New logo. Speedway Report is up and ready to be branded.
Yep. New custom professional logo. Branding is out there. All that's going on. We got all kinds of good things in store. I'll be traveling up to your place here in a couple of weeks to install some new equipment. We've got a new internet connection going in there tomorrow sometime.
Yes.
So that hopefully that'll solve our little gremlin issue we've been having here occasionally. So, but yeah, man, moving right ahead with Speedway Report, looking good. You've got some great content on the website, man. You've been busy too. That's your coverage of the Indy 500 was phenomenal.
Thank you very much. Had a good long, just short of a week in the rolling plains of Indiana.
Yeah.
Covering all kinds of action up there. Got some stories and some tales about the information on the website, about the stories up there, and about my travels, because what we write about is only a like tip of the iceberg of what actually happened during the Indy 500 adventure. Yeah.
And the American Auto Racing Writers and Broadcasters Association, you emceed this year, did you not?
And yes, I did.
And you came home with some more hardware?
More hardware for the Racers Reunion folks that I'll share with. We'll touch on all that. We got a big grocery list of stuff to talk about tonight.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much. I did my part of it. Couldn't do it without you.
Our award-winning journalist and host here of Speedway Report, Patrick Reynolds, I've lost count. I don't know how many that is. 20-something, but...
22.
22. There you go. Who's counting?
Who's counting? Right. I am.
Who's counting? We are. 22.
Yeah, 22.
Since you've been doing this thing here, for your writing and for your show, mm-hmm. and everything. Yep. And we're really proud of you, man. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. They have several different categories as far as print and web version, electronic, broadcasting, what you write, television, radio. So there's lots of different categories, and they do award certificates in different areas, and we will share that with our audience a little bit later in the show. Don't want to brag, but do want to talk about all the hard work and all the people behind it. I got a few stories about that as well. More than just, hey, we won some awards, let's move on. I come back with stories. I go on the road, and yeah.
And you can remember them. That's even more impressive.
Well, if I can't remember them, I'll just make it up. So.
Ah, yeah. All right.
Yeah. You know, true racer. Racer.
To the core, man. To the core.
Jeffrey, thank you very much for bringing us to life this evening.
Always
appreciate you. Yes, sir. We appreciate you pushing the buttons and getting us on the air. Appreciate all our friends that hang out with our On the Racers Reunion chat rooms joining the party tonight. Drag Racing Room just opening up. John Bachman is in there. He's queuing up for his show at the top of the hour. Over on the Stock Car site, Danny is in there, as well as Larry, Leon. Nicholas is with us. The legend. Good to have the legend with us on a Monday night. Tim Leeming and Jerry Smith still hanging tough. Just completed Stars Radio a short time ago. Thank you very much for being here. And likely our friend Leo is listening down in Brazil. He's either got a podcast coming up or he's with us live. Leo, hello to you. Always a pleasure to have you with us every week. Welcome, everyone, to the show. Coast to coast and around the World Wide Web, glad all of you are on board. Coming up tonight on Speedway Report are your phone calls about what's the hot topic, anything in the world of racing. We'll get to you guys fairly quickly. 843-272-1900 if you would like to chat with us and talk tonight. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report, and on Twitter, I am at Speedway Pat. And at Speedway Report. And coming up as our special guest tonight is winner of last Friday's NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour Race at Stafford Motor Speedway in Connecticut, Doug Coby. He, in every sense of the word, dominated the race. We will talk to Doug Coby a little bit later in the show, so you can give us a call. We will open up the phone lines right now. Doug is scheduled to join us around, give or take, 7:40 local time here, so we do have a chance to talk to all of you, and we'll catch up with Doug later in the show. I want to know, did anybody use a sick day to watch the NHRA or Sprint Cup today? Were you there live? Were you watching online? Were you just home on the Barca Lounge or watching your TV? Or what track did you go over the weekend? What's on your mind? Give us a call, 843-272-1900. We'll fire up those phone lines right now. For the Victory Lane Lap, we'll tell you who won what, and some of you may actually be tuning in to hear the results from when earlier today, just shortly ago. Some results are in. The checkered flag flew at Pocono in the Sprint Cup race. It was rained out yesterday, run earlier this afternoon. Kurt Busch won the 400-miler, held, like I said, just this afternoon. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was second over pole sitter Brad Keselowski. Chase Elliott and Joey Logano were your top five. The Xfinity Series ran their inaugural race at Pocono on Saturday. Kyle Larson won the Pocono Green 250. It is his first series win of the year. Pole sitter Eric Jones finished second, followed by Ty Dillon, Kyle Busch, and Joey Logano. The race was called more than 90 minutes after going under the red flag with 53 of 100 laps completed. As we just mentioned, the Modifieds were in Stafford Springs, Connecticut last Friday, the Whelen Modified Tour. Doug Coby won his third straight tour race at Stafford. He led 129 of the 130 laps, pulling away on a green-white checkered finish to claim the TSI Harley-Davidson 125. Jimmy Blewett scored his second straight podium with a runner-up finish, while Donny Lea, Eric Goodale, and Justin Bunsenyor were your top five. We've got winner Coby coming up a little bit later in the show. IndyCars straight from the Indianapolis 500 up to Michigan and Detroit Belle Isle ran a doubleheader on Saturday and Sunday. Duel 1 on Saturday was won by Sebastian Bourdais over Connor Daly, Juan Pablo Montoya, Graham Rahal, and Elio Castroneves. Duel number 2 on yesterday was won by Will Power. He used a strong car and some spot-on strategy to drive under the checkered flag first yesterday. Just how the yellows flew. Castroneves looking good. Yellow flew. Did not go his way. His Powers Team Penske teammate Simon Pagenaud was second over Ryan Hunter-Reay, Joseph Newgarden, and Scott Dixon. In those two races, the top five in each, 10 different drivers. Some pretty good parity going over in IndyCar. The IMSA sports cars were the, I guess, the support class or your Saturday headliner in Detroit Belle Isle. Prototypes and overall were won by Jordan and Ricky Taylor. Prototype Challenge won by Renger van der Zende and Alex Popov. GTD, Ben Keating, and Jerome Bleekholen were your winners there. NHRA was up in Epping, New Hampshire in New England. Gosh, they were rained out Sunday as well, run earlier this afternoon. In Top Fuel, Antron Brown was your winner. Funny Car was won by Ron Capps, and Pro Stock won by Greg Anderson. The Lucas Oil late models were down here in Southeast over the weekend. On Friday, they raced in Tazewell, Tennessee. Scott Blomquist won over Jimmy Owens, Steve Francis, Dennis Erb Jr., and Don O'Neill. That is the only racing they got in, as a scheduled show Saturday in Union, Kentucky, was rained out. The Ralph Lathan Memorial was rained out and postponed. This, however, sets up a very big weekend. The race will now be run August 11th, that is a Thursday, so you've got this $30,000 to win race on a Thursday night that piggybacks the North-South Shootout and $50,000 to win there on Saturday night, August 13th. That sounds like a race fan's dream right there. The World of Outlaw Sprints raced in Fremont, Ohio on Friday. Chad Kemenaw was the A-main winner over Donnie Schatz, David Gravel, Greg Wilson, and Jason Johnson. Saturday, they tried to race in Lake Odessa, Michigan. That was rained out and reset for Sunday, but Mother Nature still was a factor as rain ended the feature with only 17 laps complete. Checkers wave over Connecticut's David Gravel. Shane Stewart was second, Brad Sweet third, Schatz was fourth, and Tim Schaefer was fifth. The ARCA cars were at Pocono last Friday, made for a big long weekend for the race fans there. Grant Anfinger was your winner over Austin Sindrick, Brandon Jones, Dalton Sargent, and Brady Boswell. USAC Midgets were their headliner for this past week as the Silver Crown and Sprints were off. They ran Indiana Midget Week. Let's take you back through night by night. Now, on Tuesday, Montpelier Motor Speedway was won by Kyle Larson. At Wednesday at Gas City, Spencer Braston was your winner. On Thursday in Putnamville, Tanner Thorson won. Friday in Bloomington, taken by Christopher Bell. The Lawrenceburg race on Saturday was rained out, and then last night in Kokomo, Rico Abreu was your winner. But consistent finishes, no wins, gave Brian Clausen the overall midget title championship for the week in 2016. A lot of NASCAR flavor in those USAC midget winners this past week in Indiana. In Grandview, Pennsylvania, they finally got in a modified feature, a complete program, actually, as four out of their first six, I believe, Saturday nights up there in Pennsylvania have been rained out. Saturday night, their modified race was won by Kyle Borer, the late models by Brian Shuey, and the sportsman cars by Ryan Lillick. And we were looking at the skies here in your Winston-Salem, North Carolina, at the Bowman Gray Stadium, kind of my home track, if you will, for the modifieds. They weren't as lucky, and they fell victim to Mother Nature. Right after the 8 o'clock post time, they threw the green flag in the first race. I think they only got one lap in. The rains came. Could not restart. They will try again this Saturday night. And with that, we'll step away for our first break of the evening. We'll come back on the other side. We'll open up the phone lines. I'll tell you some stories I'd like to talk to you about anything that is on your mind. You are listening to Speedway Report. I am Patrick Reynolds. We'll be back right after this. We'll be right back.
you're looking to play some golf in the Myrtle Beach area, just call Dave at the Golf Director, 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Just call Dave. Dave can get you on the course with the best rates on the Grand Strand. Just call Dave. If you're a little shy and you don't like talking on the phone, just chat with Dave. Go to thegolfdirector.com in the lower right-hand corner, click chat. In a few seconds, you're going to be chatting live with Dave. Dave has some of the best golf packages offered anywhere. Just call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Tell your friends to tweet at the Golf Director. Hashtag Just Call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. Just call Dave at the Golf Director.
Tee it up. Where we gonna hit 'em today? Tee it up. Got my sticks. I'm on my way.
Elliott Beach Rentals has been one of the area's premier beach vacation and rental companies since 1959. The company was built on and remains focused on the importance of service and integrity in all facets of daily operations. For your beach vacation needs, Elliott Beach Rentals has a huge selection on and just off the beach. Contact them today and be sure to ask for the Shaggers $100 discount. Click the banner here on Shag City USA or go direct to www.northmyrtlebeachtravel.com. Or give them a call toll-free at
88-669-7853. Welcome back to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight. We've got Doug Coby coming up a little bit later in the show. He pretty much dominated the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour show at Stafford Springs, Connecticut last Friday night. We've got some numbers to run past him and let you guys know about, too. And I mean dominating. I don't mean that in a shallow sense that I just tossed the term around. We've got some numbers from him at Stafford since 2015. Pretty much he's seen nothing but clear weight racetrack for quite a while. But we'll talk to Doug about all that. 843-272-1900 if you would like to chime in today. Especially those of you that were able to see the NASCAR Sprint Cup race at Pocono today or watched online, if they were televised, I'm not sure, the NHRA final eliminations up in Epping, New Hampshire, up in the New England Dragway up there. That were rained out yesterday, completed today. Mondays are busy for me. We've got show prep and a lot of other things going on, so I stayed in touch with both events through social media. My details on both are a little sketchy, a little shallow, so anybody else has got anything that they would like to talk about or tell me about, tell our audience about, 843-272-1900. Speaking of news, I did catch the news this morning, as I do most mornings, just check on the national news as well as the local news, and Fast Jack Beckman's explosion in qualifying on his funny car made national news. That was the big news story that I kept seeing repeated over and over again. He had a camshaft fail in his engine on Saturday. Big fire, big explosion, just blew the body right off it, sent him in a fireball down the drag strip. But he was fine, got out of the car, and did have a spare car to use for final eliminations today. Ron Capture, winner in funny car. But if you were able to check out any of the action today from either Pocono or New Hampshire, feel free to call in, 843-272-1900. All righty, let's back up a little bit. Go to Indianapolis, where I spent a good portion last week. And as Jeff spoke earlier, the Aruba Awards were held there. Let's start there with that topic of conversation. The American Auto Racing Writers and Broadcasters Association longtime journalist media group, which I am a part of. I'm actually the secretary for the organization, and they were very nice to, I guess, award us, because I'm going to say us, Racers Reunion, with a couple of writing awards. The two awards that we did get were a third place running for the online news writing. It's a piece I wrote about Jonathan Davenport winning the World 100. And then in another category is a weblog entry that for the 2015 year that we won first place for a piece I wrote called The Indy 500 Privilege. Both are posted on SpeedwayReport.com right now if you'd like to read them both. Happily, some people read what I actually wrote. It's a thrill, and that they bequeath these awards to us. And I want to say, I've told a few people this, that when I win something like this and Speedway Report gets awarded something like this, I feel like the race car driver in this sense. Let me expand on this and explain it a little bit further. When, well, let's take, for example, this afternoon in Pocono, Pennsylvania, Kurt Busch won the 400-mile race. Now, Kurt Busch gets credit for the win. Kurt Busch is in the headlines. But how many people actually made that win happen? A lot. There's a lot of people in there. But race car drivers, their name goes along with it. But we all know how racing works, how race teams work. And that's what I feel like here. Speedway Report is but one gear in the Racers Reunion transmission. Without Racers Reunion, there is no Speedway Report. And with Speedway Report, I put my heart and soul into it, work very hard on it, but I take care of my own little yard, so to speak, in the whole neighborhood of Racers Reunion. It takes everybody pulling in the same direction and working together. So if you don't mind me going down the list of sponsors, so to speak, and the list of people, the guys back in the fab shop, the guys in the gear shop, the over-the-wall crew, our sponsors and our team, there's a lot of people. I consider these awards shared from Aruba, Jerry Smith, who hosts Stars Radio 6 to 7 right before we go on the air. You got John Bachelman, Bill Pratt, Barb Santucci. They're on with Racing and Rockin' at 8 o'clock right after we're on the air with a drag racing show. Free Pennington is on Tuesday nights at 6:30. And then you've got the whole Goat Rodeo crew with Racing Through History. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. The legend Tim Leeming, he's in our chat room tonight. Coastal Jack Walker, we've got the Bopper, the work of Shan Coughlin in the office, Dustin Gilder, Dangerous Devin, Cody Dinsmore. There are all these people with Racers Reunion. They're all the tire changes, the people in the shock, people building the shocks, the chassis, hanging the body, building the suspension. Without any of that, none of this is possible. You want to give the team owner or the crew chief, my hat goes off to Jeff Gilder. He's the producer of this show. He's the nucleus. He puts this whole thing together. He's kind of like the crew chief or the general manager of the whole organization, if you want to draw analogies there. And without them, none of these awards would happen. Yes, my name is on them. I worked hard in my own little world and my piece of the puzzle, just like a race car driver hops in their race day and does his job and drives the car. That's great. He gets his name in the headlines. He gets his name on the trophy. That's true. That's how it works. I wrote these pieces. They won some awards, but if it wasn't for everybody else that I just listed and probably some other people that I forgot, basically everybody at Racers Reunion and our audience listening out there, Speedway Report isn't winning a darn thing. It takes all of us together to make this happen. If Racers Reunion didn't exist, this radio show, Speedway Report, would not exist. The website, SpeedwayReport.com, would not exist, and things just would never happen. But they did. We're very fortunate to be part of that organization. I do some work for the organization at Indianapolis as well as year-round. We do things for them. Do a lot of work in that group for the media. And I will talk a little bit more about the awards ceremony, because it was kind of interesting how that whole episode kind of crept up and happened and took place for us. Last, when we headed out to Indianapolis, I want to call it getting my dates straight here, last Wednesday, the idea was to head, you know, I'm a race nut myself. The idea was to head straight from here in Charlotte to the Terre Haute Speedway, where USAC sprint cars were racing that night. So that was last Wednesday, a couple Wednesdays ago, before the Indianapolis 500. I-65 coming up from Kentucky into Indianapolis. The traffic there threw the brakes on the whole idea there. So I got to the hotel room, and then I faced, you know, about a 9 or 10 hour drive from Charlotte to Indianapolis. Then I faced about another hour and 20 minutes from Indianapolis to Terre Haute, where I was staying, to the dirt track. I just couldn't make it with the time that was there. So we went to plan B, and I started texting some friends that were at Indianapolis. Hey, where are you? Hey, what are you doing? Gathered a small little group, and we met at Dawson's for dinner, which is just off of Main Street, and I think it's a corner of 15th and Main Street. And if we all know, the Speedway is on 16th Street, so you can literally see the racetrack from the front of this restaurant. So I go over to Dawson's and meet some folks for dinner, and who do we run into but Will Marotti, who was on our show 2 weeks ago, the pastor from Wallingford, Connecticut, who is part owner of his race team, Marotti Racing, partnered with Sam Schmidt Motorsports. None other is Will Marotti there. He's holding court with a long table for dinner, holding about 10, 12 people there. They're up there having dinner, and who's telling a story where everybody is listening? Their driver, Oriol Servia, from Spain, started in row 4 of the Indy 500, and they are just hanging out. They got drinks and dinner, and I got my pals going, and we met up with Will Marotti, who the podcast is up for him, in case you want to listen to him. Great interview. No pastor faster was his hashtag, and that began his start of IndyCar ownership, what is his partnership with Sam Schmidt and Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. But we saw Will Marotti up there last Wednesday. Good to talk to him, and I visited with him several times over the weekend. We'll probably touch on that here shortly. So Thursday comes around, and there is Indy Lights practice in the morning, followed by qualifying. Well, like I read in the Speedway report, sometimes Mother Nature wins the day and has better ideas. Well, she pretty much took over Thursday before the 500. A three-hour practice session from Indy Lights was cut short to 1 hour. Qualifying was moved up about 2 hours, and then they only got partway through that in an attempt to get the entire show in when it rained and pretty much wiped out the afternoon's activity. So the Indy Lights race wound up starting by points. I, however, did have an opportunity on behalf of Racers Reunion Radio, representing us and our group and all of you out there, have lunch with Team Penske. Yeah, that's right. Roger invited the media center to lunch over his hospitality. Far be it from me to turn down a free sandwich. So we went over there, and we were able to visit with a lot of the Penske folks who were there. Actually, every one of their drivers. Montoya was there. Will Power was there. Paginot was there. Castro Neves was there. And one of their, I guess, a guy that they've had on as coach for a long time, Rick Mears, was there, four-time champ of the 500. And he was fantastic. All of them spoke to each one of us. Castro Neves actually went table to table, just kind of like a wedding, shook everybody's hand and thanked them for being there. And did get a chance to talk to Elio about the potential of a fourth win and putting him on that exclusive list of four-time winners, which Mears is one of them. That evening, fortunately, the Aruba folks had a table at the Auto Racing Hall of Fame dinner at Indianapolis. So I actually had to trade in the logoed shirts and put on the jacket and tie. Didn't look too bad, if I do say so myself. Went to the Marriott in downtown Indianapolis, and the Auto Racing Hall of Fame dinner was held, where they inducted Pat Patrick, who many of us know from IndyCar competition, a familiar name, Paul Goldsmith, who is a friend to us here at Racers Reunion Radio. He has been on this show before. We talked to him a few years ago, as well as, we already mentioned his name, Rick Mears was honored. He was already inducted in to the Auto Racing Hall of Fame but they wanted to roast him a little bit and talk to him a little bit further. So we got a chance to hang with that. The legends were there. My goodness. Johnny Rutherford was there. Danny Sullivan was there. Emerson Fittipaldi was there. They all got up and told stories about Rick Mears. It was a pleasure to listen to. Paul Goldsmith, I did stop by, introduce myself, say hello on behalf of us at Racers Reunion Radio. Best known, well, he's big time winner back in the day in cars and motorcycles, and best known, I would think, to me, as he is the final man to win a car race at Daytona Beach before the International Speedway opened up. So I got a chance to say hello to him. And Pat Patrick, three-time winner of the Indianapolis 500 as a car owner, once with Emerson Fittipaldi and twice with Gordon Johncock. Gordon Johncock's win in 1973 and 1982. Indy Motor Speedway historian Donald Davidson put it, the two 500s, 73, the one no one wanted to remember, and 1982, the finish none of us could ever forget. Gordon Johncock, winner of both of those races. Friday dawned much better with a, forecast. We had awful forecast for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the 500. Thank God they got it wrong. My goodness, we had a lot of bright sunshine and hot temperatures up there for cloudy and stormy and rainy like they told us it would be. But we had final practice for the 500, the Indy Lights Freedom 100, and the pit stop competition for the Indy cars prior to the 500. And that, let me tell you something, that Indy Lights race, the Freedom 100 that's held on Friday before the 500, is consistently one of the best races I see all year for an automobile race. They had that, I think it was 3 years ago, they had the four-wide finish. How could you forget that? And the last year ended under yellow. The year before, it was a side-by-side finish. And this year, they had first and second place roll through turns 3-4 and drag race down that front stretch. The margin of victory, 0.0024 seconds, which comes out to be the closest finish in the history of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. That is kind of somewhat getting to be like that NASCAR modified race that we brag about up at New Hampshire Motor Speedway every year. That Indy Lights race, that Freedom 100, I think is in a par for that, for you are going to get one dandy of a race. Saturday before the 500 is when the American Auto Racing Writers and Broadcasters Association awards were handed out. This year we did something different. We used the media facility, the media center at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So I want to go on the air. I want to thank Susie Elliott and Tim Sullivan for their work and hospitality for allowing us to have our ceremony in the media center there. And I've got time for the story for how this goes. Usually we have a breakfast at the Brickyard Crossing Golf Course. That didn't go too well this year. We wanted to partner actually with the IndyCar Ministry because they have been having a breakfast there for a few years as well and has become quite popular. Yet Saturday before the 500, we were actually splitting the crowd and having to make people decide which breakfast they wanted to attend. Our bright idea was to combine the two. Well, as all of you saw, and Jeff Gilder even admitted to me as well, that he watched the Indy 500 for the first time in years. Well, a lot of people did as well, and all of them were in person. And there was just a flooding of parties and get-togethers and corporate hospitality. And basically, neither Aruba or the IndyCar Ministry could afford a place because the market had driven the cost of everything and prices up so high for the 100th running of the Indy 500. It really was not economically possible. We usually have a catered breakfast, a big ceremony, about an hour and a half to 2 hour program, which I emceed. This year we did coffee and donuts and we're done in probably 20 minutes to 30 minutes. But fortunately, we did have some good people come by that won some awards for some major publications. I want to thank Mike Kirchner from IndyCar. He also came by and attended the ceremony as well. Paul Page, legendary broadcaster that we all know, stopped by as well. He was part of the ceremony and presented some awards. It was fantastic to visit with all these wonderful people. Low-key, not fancy, coffee and donuts as opposed to bacon and eggs, but we had a wonderful time at the American Auto Racing Writers and Broadcasters Association ceremony again. And I had a couple of choices. Faced with Saturday night before the 500, go back to the hotel and get a good night's sleep because you'd have to be up at really early, like 3 or 4 in the morning, for almost 400,000 people. The biggest crowd the Speedway ever had was on Sunday. Or I could go to the sprint car races up in Anderson, Indiana, and come back to the Speedway, and heck, I'll just sleep in my truck. So what did I do? Did I go back to my hotel room, get a good night's sleep and a shower? Heck no. I went to the sprint car race and watched a little 500. And then, crazy as it sounds, I went from there straight to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Heck, I slept in my truck in the parking lot just like old times. And I got up, had a brief shower, so to speak, and went inside and covered the 500. Went a little heavy on the Hugo Boss, but heck, it was all right. And Sunday's 500, our guest from a few weeks ago, I told you about Will Moradi. Had dinner with him Sunday night following the 500. During the day, his driver, Oriel Servia, finished 12th on the lead lap in their first run at Indianapolis together. I told Will, I said, you ever owned a race car before? When I owned a dirt car, my dirt street stock, about entry level as you can be in the world of auto racing, let me tell you, you roll that thing on the trailer at the end of the night, all four wheels are on it, and it's rolling. That's a good night. That's a really good night. They finished 12th. So much of the field had a pit in the late running for the splash and go of fuel for the last five laps, and Servio is actually up to fourth place before he had to pit. So they were looking pretty good, but you know, when that last caution falls, you never know when it's going to be that fuel mileage race. And who is the winner? Well, we all saw a couple of weeks ago, Alexander Rossi came through and won. I was at a car dealership right after the 500, and one of the service advisors told me, you were up at the 500? I said, yeah. I told him a little bit about the race. He said, man, IndyCar had to be disappointed in that. It's a tough story. They wanted one of the big guys to win it. You know, like Castro Neves. I said, heck no. I thought it was a fantastic win. You've got Alexander Rossi, and if you ever pull up the podcast from Mario Andretti being on this show about 2 or 3 years ago, I asked him, I said, are there any Americans on the horizon that will make the move to Formula One? And Mario's answer, Alexander Rossi. He's the next guy on the hopper from the United States that could make it in F1. He did make some F1 starts last year. A deal for this year did not materialize. Tried his hand at F1. May still go back someday, not anytime soon. Came from there back to the United States, teamed up with Michael Andretti, and is now an Indy 500 champion. I told the guy at the dealership, this is just what IndyCar needs. Young guy, an American from California, went to F1 with Formula One dreams, doesn't have a deal, comes back to the U.S., wins here on home soil, the Indy 500. Absolutely. That is the story that IndyCar needs and the 500. I thought it was wonderful. Yeah, I wasn't rooting for anybody. You root for good stories. We do got a darn good one from Alexander Rossi and the Indy 500. I got stories and tales of on the track and off the track. You want to read about my journey up there? We got several stories. SpeedwayReport.com. Go there and just click around. Several of the recent posts are all daily reports I filed about the Indy 500, and it was good stuff up there. And I know Fox Sports 1's replay of the 2015 Pocono NASCAR Sprint Cup race yesterday threw a lot of people, fooled a lot of people. And I want to go, really? It was. I was watching social media yesterday, and people were wondering why Jeff Gordon had come out of retirement and was driving the 24. Folks, if you see Jeff Gordon in the 24, I would hope your first thought would be, logical conclusion, gee, this must be a replay of last year. Maybe it's raining there. As opposed to, oh my God, Jeff came out of the booth and is now driving the 24 today. I'm shaking my head a little bit on the radio. With that right there, I'll pull a pin in my conversation, stop running my mouth. I'm a bench racer, could yak and yak and yak all night about where I've been, the races I've seen, the people I've met. It's good stuff. I could just keep talking and talking, which goes good for a radio show. But I do have to stop at some point because I got to slide in a commercial break. And I want to talk to NASCAR Modified driver Doug Coby. We're going to get a hold of him in a few minutes and talk about that big win at Stafford last Friday night. So we'll send you off on a commercial break. We'll see you back here in a few minutes right after the break. You are listening to Speedway Report. I am Patrick Reynolds. We will be back right after this. Drive it like a guitar. Race day.
Jack City, USA, and Beach Music Scene Magazine are proud to welcome Ginger Jewelry to our family. Check them out on the inside front cover of the latest edition of Beach Music Scene Magazine, or go to their website at www.gingerjewelry.net. That's Ginger, J-I-N-J-A, gingerjewelry.net. Check out this fantastic selection of handcrafted Balinese jewelry. That's Ginger Jewelry, gingerjewelry.net.
Dedicated to the live performance of beach music, blues, and funk, Blackwater Rhythm and Blues Band is the perfect choice for your event or music venue anywhere along the Carolina coast or inland. The diverse background of all the band members makes for the perfect mix to please any crowd. Visit the website at www.blackwaterrhythmandbluesband.com or click the banner here on Shag City USA to book them for your next gig.
Salsa!
Welcome back to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, in Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and man, I would really love to be introducing Doug Coby, NASCAR Modified Star winner of the NASCAR Tour race at Stafford's Motor Speedway in Connecticut last Friday, but we were not able to get a hold of him. I don't know if he's hung up or something happened. This happens at times with live radio and live broadcasts, especially with race car drivers that have a life beyond me. But Coby is a good guy. I've written about him before. He's been on our show several times. Good interview, good driver, and I'm sure something happened, and we just we'll get him back on the schedule again and talk to him again real soon. I do want to give you a little information about the win. We're going to talk to him about some of the stuff that's been happening to him this year on the Modified Tour. It was a scheduled 125-lap race where there was a late green-white checker, which extended the distance a little bit. So the field wound up running 130 laps total when the checkered flag full, even though it was an advertised 125. The late caution pushed it to 130. He led 129 of the scored 130 laps. According to NASCAR's press release and their records, if you look back at the history of Stafford Motor Speedway for their last three events, the fall final last, I can't remember, September, October, something like that, and the spring sizzler, which was in April at Stafford, and now this, the 125-lap race, of the total. Get your pens and papers out. This is pretty impressive. Of the 375 laps that the Modified Tour has run, Doug Coby has led 367 of them. Basically, it's only 8 laps out of 375 that he has not led at Stafford. Was really looking forward to trying to dig into his the reason, the why. Try to get him on the air and see what happened to the car and see how he was going, how the team's been doing, if he would give away any secrets to us. But he is the championship leader. They've got 4 starts this year on the tour. He's won twice, the top 5s, 3, and he's been in the top 10 every time. The tour is off until next Wednesday. One of the highlights coming up is the Oswego Speedway on Labor Day weekend, as the Modifieds return to there. And as we talked about Stafford and Thompson, we've documented that as dominance there, which are the half miles and the 5/8 at Thompson. I was wondering if the LFR chassis had been any improvements to that with the smaller tracks like Waterford Speed Bowl and the quarter mile at Riverhead. And the tri-track series for the Modifieds is coming up this Saturday at Monadnock Raceway in New Hampshire. Well, I'm not sure if we'll see Doug there, but that would be cool if any of the tour teams can make their way up to Monadnock and check it out this Saturday. Tri-track series, we've had some of the Dick Williams from the tri-track series has been with us a few times. A lot of people work real hard in a volunteer basis to put that small series together with some pretty good money being paid out to the Modified team. So hopefully I'm hoping that some of the Whalen Modified Tour teams go ahead and support that Tri-Track Series race in Monadnock, New Hampshire. Everyone, in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with SpeedwayReport.com. Vicki Miller, Paul Bluffus, and Steve Zonger are all writing stories there, as well as myself. We've got a new featured podcast on the site, so tonight's show should be up soon. Like I told you before, Indy 500 weekend stories are posted and written. They were all up during the 500 weekend. If you'd like to look back on Indianapolis, head to SpeedwayReport.com. Jeff Gilder, my good buddy, thank you for the production work tonight. Appreciate you keeping us on the air and connected.
My pleasure, bud.
You can hear more from Jeff and the Racers Reunion family tomorrow, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Racing Through History, right here on Racers Reunion Radio in Free Pennington, with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night, 6:30 Eastern Time, right here. Big thanks to everyone at RacersReunion.com chat rooms for tuning in, both the stock car site and the drag racer site. As I said, I told you a lot about it earlier. I feel very special and privileged to be part of the Racers Reunion family. Reminder to everybody, local tracks are racing. Now is the time. I urge everyone, go see a race at a track near you this weekend. Our grassroots ovals, drag strips, road courses, they are the backbone and foundation of the auto racing world. Go check out a race this weekend. If you tuned in late or would like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report or any of the Racers Reunion programs, head to racersreunionradio.com. We've got podcasts, downloadable shows, history, anything you want. Just hit click the Listen Now button for the replays, and all podcasts are downloadable. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and listening to Racers Reunion Radio, and especially on this D-Day 2016, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been listening to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. Produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. All of our NHRA and drag racing friends that appreciate great music, stay tuned right here for Bill Pratt, John Buckelman, and Barb Santucci on Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat and at Speedway Report. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. 1 week from tonight, we will cover IndyCars and NASCAR trucks in Texas, NASCAR Sprint Cup in Michigan, Formula One from Canada, the Dream from Eldora, and a whole lot more. Thank you all for listening. Good night.